We're going to begin a section of scripture here in Mark now where Jesus is going to be unveiling the future. And what he has to say to us tonight in the first two verses of Mark chapter 13, they're very important to us as we begin to understand the future. And so, as we read here in Mark chapter 13, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And we begin to think about this passage of scripture and the importance of what Jesus is saying here. Again, the disciple was exclaiming, "Man, just look at this place. Isn't this awesome? Oh, how magnificent." And the disciples were proud of the building. You see, the Jews were proud of their temple. Let me ask you a question. Who had built that temple? Do you know? Who was the one who had ordered the temple to be built at this time? And that's important for us to understand. It was Herod. Was Herod a Jew? No, he wasn't. Herod was an Edomite, and the Jews hated the Herodians. Oh, how they hated them. Because they believed that Herod had usurped the throne of David. Well, I want you to picture that in the context of what we see taking place in our nation today, where one party believes another party is trying to usurp the presidency, if you will. And we have all this back and forth nonsense of hatred and division and strife taking place in our nation today. And you can begin to picture what was taking place and the hatred that the Jews had for the Herodians. And so in order to placate them, in order to bring some semblance of peace, Herod gave them a token and he had the temple built. And you know what? The Jews were proud of it. But do you remember what Jesus' estimate of the temple was from Mark chapter 11? We talked about that. You remember how Jesus went in and he cleansed that temple and he drove out the money changers, overturned the tables, and he said, "My Father's house is to be a house of what? But you have turned it into a what? Den of thieves." Now here we are, and the disciples have been in the temple. They come out, and as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples, not named, said unto him, "Master, see what manner of stones, what buildings." You know, that's what a lot of people do when they come to Green Valley, by the way. If they've not been here before, their response is, "Oh my goodness, what a church. How big, how huge, how beautiful." And they're doing what the Jews were doing. They're proud of what they see. They're excited about what they see. The disciples were fascinated by the magnificent structure. So I want you to imagine now, with this as our backdrop, imagine how shocked they were when Jesus told them what would become of it. It's all going to be thrown down. Could you imagine that? Why would God allow his temple to be destroyed? Because they had turned it into a den of thieves. And because they had turned it into a den of thieves, Jesus would depart from it and leave it desolate, according to Matthew 23 and 38. Can you just imagine such a thing? Jesus had come to that temple. He cleansed the temple at the beginning of his ministry. He's cleansed the temple at the end of his ministry. When he cleansed it at the first, but do you note that the Jews went right back into the pigsty? They didn't pay any attention to what Jesus had said at all about the temple and about worship. So they turned it right back in, and now Jesus is coming near the end of his ministry, and he cleanses the temple again. And you know what happened? The Jews went right back into the pigsty. And Jesus left the house. Now this gets me to thinking about the modern church. And I wonder what Jesus would do if he came to church on Sunday. Have you ever thought about would he stay or would he go by what he sees taking the place in the modern church today? And I've come up with a few thoughts about this. I think it would depend on what he finds in the hearts of the people, wouldn't it? Now, this is a tough one. But let me ask you this. Would Christ be pleased with our hearts? Have we let go of our prejudices? Have we let go of our will for His will? Do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Do we love God? I think it would depend a lot on what he would find in the heart. How many of you would agree with this? It's easy to look right when you come to church, to say the right things when you're at church, to shout to church amen and all those kinds of things. But that's all on the outside, isn't it? What's going on the inside? I think, too, you know, there are those people who are no longer teachable. What do you say about that? There's some people who've already decided just what they're going to allow God to do. They're only going to allow God to work in this little box that they've created for themselves. They're not going to think outside. Here's a box. They're not going to think outside the box. To their mind, they've already structured God. They're no longer teachable. They're closed-minded. Not open-minded. I think God would be pleased if he came to church and found teachable spirits in all the people. I think he'd be greatly grieved if he showed up at church and found an unteachable spirit within the church. I think he'd be greatly grieved if he showed up at church and found that the people who say that they love him really aren't loving him with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength. I think he'd be greatly grieved by those who don't participate in worship. They don't lift their voice in song, don't bow their head in prayer, they don't hear the message because their minds are elsewhere. They've just showed up at church. They've come for the donuts and coffee and nothing more, I guess. We'd be very naive when we look at this text not to think that what Jesus said about the temple in his day could not happen in the modern church in our day. I think he'd be greatly grieved if he showed up at church and found them teaching and preaching something other than the Word of God, or taking the Word of God and twisting it and inserting their own words instead of God's Word. What do you think? The Jews were holding, what God wants us to learn from this text is that the Jews were holding worship services, but there was no true worship of God taking place in their services. And again, we'd be very naive if we did not think that could not happen in the modern church today. God had Paul write under the inspiration of his Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. And so, if we come to church and we never ask ourselves tough questions, I think we've missed the point of what church is all about sometimes. So I like us to think about these tough questions. We're members one of another. We're all connected, by the way. We are called the body of Christ. And so when we think about being the body of Christ, one of the things we've got to ask ourselves in light of this text is, do we as a body have a teachable spirit? Are we worshiping God as God would have us worship Him, or do we just hold in services? Tough questions. But they're questions we need to ask. Our hearts need to be on fire for the Lord. How many of you would say, as you view the landscape of Christianity today, that the modern church has grown way too familiar and way too comfortable and way too lax in their worship of a holy, righteous God? Do you agree with that or not? And so as we begin to think about this, we need to think, if we're worshiping God in the manner as His Word described, what God wants us to learn from this text is that Jesus could leave this place and this church could die and this church could close. Just like a lot of other churches. Are you aware of this, that in the United States right now, 65% of all churches in this nation are in decline? 40% of those are what we call a terminal condition, because they've gotten settled, they've gotten comfortable, and they've stopped being concerned about the Lord's business. They no longer have a teachable spirit. They just want to do church their way, not God's way. They've stopped being concerned about spiritual things. Jesus gave His church one great commission: to go and to share the gospel, to make disciples. And unfortunately, in far too many churches today, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. God chose the Jews to be a light to the Gentiles, to share with the world the truth about the one true God. But they chose instead to turn God's house into a den of thieves. Tonight, we might say, in far too many places across the landscape of America, that the church has become more of a country club than the house of the Lord. In a lot of churches, the members expect to be served instead of to serve. Is that biblical? No. What is the key verse in Mark's gospel? Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Like the Jews then, people today seem to want to serve their own interests, not Christ's interests. Instead of shining the light, the Jews were hiding it under a bushel basket. They were comfortable with a show of religion, but they had no true heart of worship and love for God. Oh, they could say the words, but deep down, it just wasn't there. They rejected their Messiah. Remember that. If you really love God the way you say you love God, how can you reject anything that God would ask of you? But they rejected Him. And Jesus left the temple. When Jesus leaves the house, how many of you would agree that house is in trouble? And so the Jews love their building. They love their way of doing things. They had no heart to change their ways. Their way was more important than God's way. How many of you would agree with this? When man's will is more important than God's will, the work of the Spirit is quenched in that place. And since people, not the building, are the church, what was true for the Jewish temple is as true for us today. God's helping us to discover here in these first two verses that the work of His Holy Spirit was quenched in the temple of the Jews. When man's way is more important than God's way, the work of the Holy Spirit in that place is quenched. Let me ask you a question tonight. You think about it for you. Whose way is more important in your life? God's way or your way? Now, this brings me to another question that may be being raised in your own mind right now. What if there are some who want to do God's work, who are striving to please God and desiring to please God? Is the Spirit's work still quenched? What is the church called in relation to Christ? The bride and His body, right? The bride, His body. And then that being true, are not Clarence and I linked together? Are not Steve and I, are not all of us present linked together, united? We're to be united together. Can the head say to the neck, I don't need you? Can the foot say to the eye or the hand, I have no need of you? No, we all know that. And so, what does the Bible teach about the body? The Bible teaches that there must be unity. There must be function. In order for the body to function properly, everything has to be in its working order. Well, when we think about our own physical bodies, what happens if one part of our body isn't healthy? Is the body healthy? No. And that's why we must strive to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Time is growing short. We need to shine the light as never before for Jesus Christ. If the church, have you ever stopped to think about this? If the church would just function as it should, there's no telling what God could do. But you see, the problem across America today is that the church is not functioning as it should. For if it were functioning as it should, the light of Christ would be shining across the land and God would be blessing America as never before. And when we look at that great passage in Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 to 47, we find that the church was functioning as it should. And when you come to the 47th verse of Acts chapter 2, we find that God was adding to the church daily. God's word instructs us then, when we put more stock in ourselves than we do in God, the Spirit is quenched. The body doesn't function as it should. Oh, it has some life to it. It's functioning in some manner, but it's not functioning as it should. That makes sense to everybody? I mean, we have the same problem. If your feet ache, your whole body aches, right, man? If your legs throb, you just don't feel like you can do a thing. If you've got something out of order, your body's not functioning as it should. It's not working in unity. So all we need to do is look at our own body to see how important unity is in the body. How many of you would agree with this? When our body isn't functioning as it should, we're out of sorts. Amen? It's a good lesson for the church. And what God wants us to understand is that God can't if man won't, because that's the way that God's ordained it. God can't add to the church if man won't, because that's just, friends, the way God has ordained it. He said, go and make disciples, not sit and hope some come. He said, the church is to be about the Lord's business, not your business. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not y'all go take care of your own things and then come take care of my things. He said, put me first, others second, yourself last, and you'll find joy. And have you ever discovered that when you have joy, you also have peace? It's interesting as we view the modern church today in the light of this text, because if we're honest before God tonight, not much has changed from the days of the Jewish temple here in Mark. Far too often in the modern church, the people put themselves first, others second, Christ last. Is it any wonder that the church isn't functioning as it should as the body of Christ? The Jewish church, the temple, failed to function as it should. And I'm going to say this again, Jesus left the temple. And the Romans in 70 AD destroyed the temple. Now, who was Mark primarily writing his gospel for? To what people group? The Romans. Gentiles just like us. People who at that time were outside the family of God. There are people tonight all over our community who are outside the family of God. They need Jesus. That's what this world needs. This world needs Jesus. And if we, the church, do not shine the light and function as we should, how will those on the outside find Christ and the peace that they need on the inside? If we get wrapped up in our buildings and the impressiveness of it and the beauty of it and all of that, we've missed it altogether. They had missed it altogether. They weren't even worshiping properly. When God's people fail and refuse to repent, and their heart grows hard, it's not long before God leaves the house. Have you ever wondered this question when we look at the landscape today? Have you ever wondered, why do churches die? Can I ask you tonight, how many churches do you know that were once there and they're no longer there? Why did they die? Churches die because God's people stopped doing what God has asked them to do. We've been called to serve God like Christ served us. We've been called to worship God as His Word teaches us. We've been called to love others as Christ so loved us. We're called to love one another. How many of you agree? That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Well, let me ask you another question. Do you think you're all that lovely all the time? Yet Christ loves us unconditionally. That's the kind of love we're to develop. We don't know anything about it, but by His Spirit and with His help, we can learn how to love one another. Well, let's make application as we close tonight by asking some more tough questions. I want to make these just a little bit more personal because I think it's important. When we think about being a member of the church, I think one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, am I a willing member in my church? Why is it that people don't serve? Because they're not willing. Am I a willing member? Ministry, the things we do in ministry, it's going to change through the years because we change through the years. There was a time when we were younger, I'll speak for myself. You know, it would be nothing to go climb the roof of some building and put on a roof. Now I get up there, I don't want to be up there. I'll go splat if I fall. The days of me running up on a roof, they're over. Ministry changes through the years. You might have started out as a very active worker in some position in the charts, but now your ministry's changed as life has gone on. But as long as you're here on earth, God expects you to serve. You know, one of the greatest ministries that people have lost sight of today is the ministry of prayer. Friends, we're never too old to pray. And wouldn't it be great if we could bring prayer requests to those who are prayer warriors? Give them on to me. I'll take them home. I'll pray over them. And we'll see God answer these things. I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. As we grow older, we just pray more. Just part of life, isn't it? Am I a willing church member? I think another question we could ask ourselves is, am I serving God as I should in the local body He has placed me? Am I serving God as I should? Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Where is it you would have me to serve? Time's our most precious commodity, isn't it? And yet we're all given the same amount of time every single day. Where are we going to invest it? Are we going to take the time to come and, as little Ed leader asked us, to come and maybe read the kids a story or to share a craft or to tell them something about who we are and what we do and what Christ has meant to us? Whose business comes first in our life? God's or ours? I think another thing we could ask ourselves, have I become settled and comfortable that I'm no longer willing to serve my Lord in His body? And you know, I've noticed something as I've gotten older. You know, old dogs need to be taught new tricks. Isn't that true? But sometimes we don't want to learn new tricks. That's true too. I see Marty laughing, so I know that's true. And it got me to thinking, am I willing to accept that others in the body might have better ideas than my own? That's called collaboration, isn't it? We've got to listen to one another. Every voice is important, from the youngest to the oldest, that we all might come to unity in the body of Christ, that we would pray, that we would have God's mind on the matter, to be certain as much as lies within us that we're doing it His way, not our way, lest Jesus leave the house. Oh, I hope we do it His way. Brother James, would you close us in prayer tonight?